Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Elanor Retail Property Fund. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there'll be a question and answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, to Mr. Glenn Willis. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Elanor Retail Property Fund results presentation call. I have with me here today members of the leadership team of Elanor Investors Group, including Michael Balliver, who's joint head of real estate and fund manager for the retail fund, Elanor Retail Property Fund, and Matt Healy, who is head of retail. I'll look forward to handing you over to Michael shortly, but in the first instance, I'd like to provide a brief overview of the year that was, and just to state the key ambition for us as manager of this fund is to deliver investors an investment in a retail property fund that in turn delivers strong risk-adjusted returns. And further to that, we strive to grow security holder value, NTA per security, as the other overarching objective as manager of this fund. Over the course of the year, I'm particularly pleased with the team's efforts in growing NTA value. Since late 2016, when the fund was listed, the NTA at $1.25, it now is around $1.53, so it's a reasonable growth in NTA per security in a sector that has its challenges, of which we are very, very cognizant of. The key achievements over the half have been in the main assets, the major assets in the fund, being the Tweed Mall asset and the Auburn Central asset, those two assets constituting about 60% of the fund. And I'll let Michael take you through what's been achieved in terms of executing the strategic and operational initiatives in those two assets and more broadly across the fund. Whilst core earnings is down on a comparative period, the comparative core earnings, taking into account the downtime at Tweed Mall for the introduction of Aldi, which will reshape that shopping centre in a very significant way, and also adjusting for the performance fee that's been accrued from the listing date back in November 2016 to now. So we've put that comparative core earnings, and there's a modest increase in comparative core earnings on a period-on-period basis. I'm mostly pleased with the continued growth in net asset value for the fund. The portfolio average cap rate at 6.7%, we believe, is very fair. Michael will take you through that in his overview of the fund, and particularly when you consider the cap rate for the non-core assets in that fund. Gearing at 38.8% is well and truly within the range of 30 to 40%, which is the target gearing range for this fund. So we just go to page 6 of the presentation. As I mentioned before, we have the key objectives of delivering a strong risk-adjusted return for investors in this fund, and also grow net asset value, NTA, for security holders in this fund. That is, they are our overarching objectives, and we continue to strive to do that. And Michael and team have made significant achievements over the course of the year. So we state there, in terms of our fund strategy and investment philosophy, that we invest in retail properties. We actively asset management, which is a very key point of the way we manage the fund. We would put ourselves out to be very active asset managers, and striving to to add value through the strategic repositioning of the assets within that fund. Having said that, we won't be adding assets to the fund until until our broader cost of capital, if you like, is rectified, and better reflects the underlying value of the fund. Or we won't be adding assets until we complete our strategic review of the fund, with the key ambition to close the gap between NTA and the current security price, and we'll talk more about that a bit later in the presentation. So, Michael, I'll hand it over to you now to take us through the execution of the strategic initiatives in the fund.
Thanks, Glenn. When we look at our strategic initiatives for the fund, really they are focused on two main objectives. One being increasing the NTA of the underlying securities, and therefore increasing the value of the assets within the fund. And as Glenn mentioned, we've achieved a strong growth since listing, of increasing the NTA from $1.25 to $1.53, despite, as we all know, some pretty significant headwinds in the retail investment space. The other objective we seek to achieve is to improve the quality of the earnings of the fund, and mostly focus on increasing the earnings from non-discretionary retail, particularly supermarkets and food and retail services-based retailers, and away from discretionary spend and also DDS anchors as well. And you can see from the results of the execution of the strategies of both Auburn Central and at Tweed Mall, we are continuing to advance on achieving those objectives. At Auburn Central, we announced on the 18th of July that we agreed an early surrender of the Big W lease. The Big W lease was due to expire in June 2024. We successfully negotiated an early surrender of that lease, with also some a surrender fee to cover the downtime while we reposition that asset into a more non-discretionary focused asset, and our objective is to ensure that it's a dual supermarket neighbourhood centre, more appropriate for that market. In addition to that, we're seeing that the under-renting of the Big W space will result in a positive income reversion for that asset in the order of $2 million from the $1 million that the Big W is paying on that space. And that rental reversion has resulted in the valuation increase from $82 million to $101.5 during the period. We're well advanced in the repositioning strategy for the asset. We've got a heads agreement with a non-discretionary retailer where they're going through their board approval process, and we expect to be able to confirm that in the near future. At Tweed Mall, pleased to announce that the new Aldi 15-year lease will commence on its opening on Wednesday, this Wednesday being the 21st of August. That's a very significant initiative for the asset. We anticipate very strong increase in centre sales and footfall, particularly in the northern part of the mall, which has been up till now weak. And the reintroduction of Aldi has really allowed us to remix that northern mall and introduce a number of non-discretionary food and retail services retailers to complement the introduction of Aldi, and on Wednesday that Northern Mall will open fully occupied. We're pleased with that outcome, despite again challenging conditions in retail leasing. We're also have made strong progress on our master planning for the Tweed Mall site. As we've mentioned earlier, the Tweed Mall site has very strategic underlying real estate value given its favourable planning controls, and as a result of that, we're looking to execute on that, and we've had very favourable feedback from council, and as a result, we're looking to progress that that initiative relatively quickly in this next half. The other pleasing aspect of, our important initiatives is that we've significantly bolstered our development and asset management capability. Beside me here is Matt Healy. Matt joined us a few months ago as the head of retail and will be critical and focused on working with me and the rest of the asset management team to drive investment performance out of the ERF fund assets. Turning to page 8 now. We've put in here a bit of sort of a plan of the repositioning area, just to give some context as to how significant it is. It's 7,150 square metres of the Big W space. When we carve up space like this, considerations are loading and retailer amenity, and we've been able to achieve that by the existing loading area from Big W, but also the acquisition of an adjoining site, which provides us access from both sides of the Big W box. That will facilitate our repositioning and leasing initiatives. As I mentioned earlier, the repositioning project is expected to generate a $2 million increase in the income at a cost of $20 million, therefore generating a 10% yield on investment, significantly ahead of the cost to the funding cost for that initiative. And we think that's that upside is actually conservative. We expect to outperform that pretty strongly as well. The surrender with Big W has been negotiated on the basis that if they continue to occupy until Christmas. Obviously, it's an important trading period for DDS retailers. We will get the space back in January of next year and commence the project in February, with an expected completion date of the end of 2020, well ahead of the coverage of the lease surrender payment, so that there's no negative earnings impact for ERF investors during this downtime period of the Big W repositioning. And we're actively commencing the leasing program, and it's fair to say that we're getting good interest, despite the fact that we don't actually have the space back from us. We're getting strong interest, particularly from mini majors, like I said, that initiative will result in a very positive outcome for earnings for the fund. The other important repositioning initiative is the Tweed Mall Audi. As I mentioned earlier, they're due to open on Wednesday. Looking terrific. We're expecting a very strong opening. The marketing campaign that's been launched by Audi and our management team has been very extensive. We've partnered well with Audi. It's unusual for Audi to partner with landlords on marketing initiatives, but we're expecting that to really drive a positive outcome, not just from the day of opening, but throughout the 15-year lease that Audi have signed up, to really drive our ability to reposition the specialty mix in the centre more overall. As I said, we've completed the Northern Mall, but I think once the increased footfall in the mall is seen, that will also assist in continuing to drive remixing opportunities throughout the rest of the centre as well. The Manning Mall target renewal was an initiative we announced in the last period, that has extended the WALE and helped firm the cap rate as we reported in the last half. At this point, I'll hand over to Glenn just to provide an update on the strategic review.
Thanks, Michael. Before I provide an update on the strategic view, on page 11 of the presentation, we just table there how we view the properties of the of the fund. We look at the fund in as having two discrete sets of properties, the value-add assets, which are the Auburn Central and Tweed Moor, both of which we believe will continue to generate high risk adjusted returns for those assets, and also the other group of properties being what we call core assets, which are particularly non-discretionary focused retail properties that deliver strong cash flows for the fund and for the security holders. If we turn to the update on the strategic review on page 12, we made it clear that we have an overarching ambition for this fund to have the security value reflect the value underlying value of the fund. In other words, we are working to close the gap between the NTA and the current security trading price. Important in doing so is executing on the repositioning initiatives at the in the value add assets, as Michael has just gone through, but also we have spent a good amount of time evaluating the potential realisation strategies for the value add assets and the evaluation of the potential realisation strategy for the core assets. And in addition to that, we have considered potential realisation strategy for these assets being realised, I guess, to discrete sources of capital more appropriate for each particular type of asset, capital more appropriate for the core assets and capital more appropriate for the value-add assets. So in summary, we are determined to close that gap between NTA and current security price. We've identified a number of options in that regard. And we're looking to execute on the preferred option in what we'd say is the short to medium term, and we add there if appropriate. We continue to strive to close the gap by delivering performance in the underlying assets of the fund, at the same time as working at pace to identify the most appropriate strategy to close the gap by way of a more specific capital transaction, and we'll be keeping the market informed as those developments progress. I'll hand it over to Michael now to look at the assets in more detail, and then we'll look to Paul to have a commentary around the financials.
Thanks again, Glenn. On page 14 is a slide we prepare on a regular basis, an update on a regular basis, just to show how we're achieving on the operational and strategic initiatives that we're employing. And each asset, fair to say, is on track, particularly, as Glenn mentioned, the two larger assets, which we provided highlights on earlier in the presentation. But Auburn Central, I guess, as a reminder, we did sell the non-core second-level podium assets over the course of... We finalised that in the last half, as you may recall, and we reinvested those proceeds into the investment into Moranbah Fair, after we realised $22 million. Key initiative at Auburn Central, again, is the Big W lease surrender. You may recall that we've been trying to unlock that opportunity for some time, so it's pleasing that we've been able to achieve that, consistent with, I guess, Big W strategy for a number of their stores. And the key initiative now is to execute on that repositioning strategy, of which we're well advanced. Tweed Moor, Aldi will open again on Wednesday, and we're progressing well with our master planning and our staging of the repositioning of the site more generally. Manning Mall, we've renewed, we cleared the renewal back in November of last year for a new five-year term. based on an occupancy cost deal, we continue to work with a fast food mini major to introduce them into the centre, and we continue to negotiate with the major tenants to ensure that continues to be an opportunity, which will continue to progress. Gladstone Square, you will note later that we've written that asset down. Occupancy's come down in that asset due to a challenging market. Central Queensland has rebounded in our view, and we're seeing that in Moranbah Fair, Gladstone. We're seeing some investment there, and we're seeing strong Woolworths sales, but leasing has proven challenging, and as a result, we've chosen to write that down. We will need to invest some capital into that asset to improve its performance, despite the fact that Woolworths sales strong and the whale to the Woolworths is to 2036. Moranbah Fair, we completed the introduction of some kiddie play area, which has received very strong feedback from the local community, and as a result, we're seeing really strong interest from office and especially retailer leasing inquiry. Glenorchy Plaza, you'll note we've written that asset down as well with a view to divesting it, despite the fact that it's got a lease until 2025. We think it's an appropriate time to be further considering the divestment of that asset. And Northway Plaza, we're making good progress on the development potential of that site, and that'll be an important focus for this next 6 months to strive to achieve that operational upside as well. As we noted earlier, ERS portfolio is really split into, we see as two larger assets being Auburn Central and Tweed Mall, representing about 60% of the portfolio and the balance of the assets, while still providing strong cash flow, are more passive in their investment horizon. Turning to page 16, we've got four sub-regional assets and three neighbourhood shopping centres. The Auburn Central will become a neighbourhood shopping centre once we post the surrender of Big W early next year. So that will be reclassified to a double supermarket neighbourhood shopping centre. And again, we'll continue to look to reweight towards more food-based, non-DDS, non-discretionary focused assets as we continue to progress with the strategic initiatives. On page 17, the asset summary. Key points to note there are Auburn Central, the WALE for that asset has come down as a result of the early surrender of the Big W lease. It's now only 6 months to go till that expiry now, which obviously brings the WALE from 4 years to 3 years. The Tweed asset reflects the 15-year lease to Aldi now. That will assist in securing further tenure for other assets, other retailers as well. The weighted average cap rate for those two assets is 6.25%, and the balance of the portfolio's weighted average cap rate is 7.5%, which I think compares very, very favourably to where the market's seeing assets trade, particularly in the neighbourhood shopping centre space. In terms of valuation portfolio movements, as mentioned earlier, the valuation of Auburn Central has increased to 101.5 as a result of unlocking the redevelopment potential at Big W. The cap rate has remained unchanged at 6%. The increase in value is entirely attributable to the increase in the market rent potential for the Big W space, less the cost to complete the works. The Tweed Mall increased from 96.2 to 101.3 is purely as a result of the capital expenditure during the period. That asset hasn't been revalued at this stage. That's just a capitalisation of the cost of the works. And as I mentioned earlier, the Glenorchy Plaza and Gladstone assets have been written down, but we've also written up Moranbah Fair from 25.7 to 26.3 as a result of increased strong inquiry and income earnings from that asset, whilst retaining the capitalisation rate, with Northway Plaza and Manning Mall unchanged other than for some capital expenditure. In terms of relative value of ERF compared to its peers, our weighted average cap rate for the portfolio is 6.7%, but as I mentioned earlier, the Tweed and Auburn assets weighted average cap rate is 6.25%, reflecting the, the more value-add nature of those assets, whereas the core assets, being the remainder of the portfolio, largely neighbourhood-style shopping centres, weighted average cap rate for those assets is 7.5%, which compares favourably to the peer set. Just turning to page 20, this seeks to demonstrate, the underlying earnings. As I mentioned earlier, one of the things we continue to strive toward is to reduce the weighting of earnings towards non-discretionary spend. Big W currently represents 8% of the earnings following the lease surrender. That'll reduce significantly and reposition it more towards the non-discretionary part of the investor set, of the retail set. On page 21, the lease expiry profile now reflects in FY20 the surrender of the lease expiry of Big W in this financial period. FY20 is the expiry of the target at Tweed, and in FY22 reflects the lease expiries of Coles and IGA, Coles at Tweed, sorry, and IGA at North Main Plaza. In terms of comparable sales, we've seen very strong growth in sales. That's mainly driven by the strong outperformance of the Woolworths supermarkets in our portfolio, showing a 7.8% growth. That outperformance is a number of things. Without necessarily impacting Coles, but last year, Woolworths sales were negatively impacted by the plastic bags. They were the first supermarket to introduce the banning of plastic bags. That negatively impacted their sales. They've also invested quite significantly in price discounting, which has shown some pretty strong improvement in their sales. And in this last quarter, the Lion King promotion is also achieving very, very strong favourable performance for them. And again, last year, I think Coles were at the forefront there with their minis promotion. So net, the bounce back for Woolworths in this financial year has been quite strong. The other point to note is that the data that we're getting from Woolworths reflects a 53-week period, whereas last year it was a 52-week period. So, but in all, we're seeing strong outperformance from Woolworths in our portfolio without necessarily impacting coal sales as a result of, a varying number of factors, but translating and coming through in the performance of our portfolio. On that note, I'll hand over to Paul just to run through the details of the financials.
Thank you, Michael. Just referring to the profit loss on page 24 of the presentation, For the year to 30 June 19, the fund recorded a net profit of $20.0 million. That incorporated fair value incremental adjustments of almost $8.8 million. Comprises the $19.5 million uplift in Auburn, the previously reported reduction in value of Manning as at December as part of the renewal of the target lease, and the relatively small adjustments to Glenorchy and Moranbah Fair up, and also Gladstone that Michael referred to. Also included in that number is a $3.3 million fair value decrement in respect of the fair value of our fixed rate hedges. That is a direct result of the fact that the swap rates, 5-year and 3-year swap rates, have declined by circa 1.5% over the year. Obviously, that's not a loss at all. I'll refer to a few comments on debt in a moment in relation to that. The other adjustments to net profit to arrive at core earnings are straightforward and consistent with prior years, producing a core earnings number of 12.175, which is 9.4 cents per security, and at a distribution payout ratio 8.98 cents for the year. The balance sheet shows our net tangible asset position of $1.53 per security at 30 June 2019. Interest-bearing debt at balance date was $130.4 million, which reflects a gearing ratio of 38.8%. I've referred already to the unrealized loss on the mark-to-market of our interest rate derivatives, and that's incorporated, of course, on the liability side of our balance sheet here under the heading Derivative Financial Investments. Our debt and capital management on page 26. We do have available facilities to assist with some of the repositioning that's in play. Our gearing is below our range of 30 to 40%, and our percentage of debt that's fixed is also at the bottom end of our range of our capital management policy there, 82.5%. Obviously, we're alert to the recent decline in interest rates. And we'll make further decisions in respect of hedging in due course. There's been pleasing movements in all of the other metrics in respect of our debt. The weighted average cost of debt has declined from 4% to 3.91 at the end of this year. The average debt maturity has improved from 2.1 to 3.2, and our average swap to maturity hedge has improved from 2.3 to 3.1. The debt of the fund is very much within and very comfortable relative to our key covenants. Glenn, I'll pass back to you for some closing comments on strategy and outlook.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. As we say in page 28, slide 28 of our pack here, we firmly believe that ERF, the fund, is well positioned to enhance value for security holders. Michael and Matt and the team have a strong capability to execute on our strategy in the first instance to reposition the assets to non-discretionary retailers away from the more discretionary retailers and discount department stores, which Michael has spoken about, and more generally, actively asset manage the portfolio to generate improved operational performance and returns. Furthermore to that, we are working at pace to execute on the key strategic initiatives across the portfolio, which pleasingly there are. Several, as we've spoken about, which we believe will further improve the value of the fund. Over the last 30 months, the team has improved NTA from 125 to 153. We believe that we will continue to grow NTA, but notwithstanding that, we're also acutely focused on on a strategy to close the gap between the current security price and the NTA of the fund. And I spoke about the broader strategy and approach that we have in doing so. And as we say here, we continue to evaluate a range of capital management and strategic transaction opportunities to close that gap. And so we're focused on that, on closing that gap, and we at the same time continue to be acutely focused on growing value, growing NTA, and improving the cash flows of the assets within ERF. So against that that background, we look forward to fielding questions should there be any questions. I'll hand over to the operator now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound hash key. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one and wait for your name to be announced. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's star one, but our next questionnaire is from Edward Day from Moelis Australia. Please ask your question.
Hi, team. Just one from me. Michael, on slide 21, the lease expiry profile, could you just talk in a little bit more detail around the major, new major expiries and particularly your expectations for each of those and whether they're just options that need to be exercised?
But they are all, they all, each of those retailers do have options, Ed. So, as Big W is a known quantity, they will be exiting, as we know.
Yeah.
Target is due to exercise their option next month, and Coles and IGA, they're into back into next year, in October 21.
And your expectation is that all those options will get exercised?
Uncertain on target, but our strategy, our repositioning strategy for the asset countenances either a scenario where they do or do not exercise their option.
Okay, thanks.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, it is star one and wait for your name to be announced. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one. Probably there's no more. We have another question just turned up. Our next question is from Paul Turnbull, who's a private investor. Please ask your question, Paul. Hello, Paul. Your line is open to speak. You might have yourself on mute. Hello, Paul. Is anyone there? As I receive no response from Paul, once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's star one. There's no more further questions at this time. I'd like to hand the call back to the speaker for any closing remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. And again, thank you all for attending this this call, joining this call, and for your interest in the Elanor Retail Property Fund. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Michael and his team for their efforts in growing value for security holders in this fund. We are acutely aware of the challenges that prevail in the retail sector of the broader real estate asset class. That to us presents opportunities as well, and we're certainly looking to explore the opportunities that are at hand in our assets within the fund, and Michael and his team are doing a good job at that and are striving to build not just security holder value, but improve the cash flows and the income nature of the assets within the fund. Thank you again, and we look forward to speaking again in 6 months' time. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the call for today. Thank you for all participating. You may all disconnect. Goodbye.